Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. This is a little weird for us today because I am Michelle Berquist, not normally your host of Financial Fitness. I get this wonderful opportunity today to be able to rewind and turn things around, and I'm interviewing our host, John Burroughs, who is also the senior mortgage lender and officer at Finance of America. So normally this is John's show, but we're going to be talking about the record year for real estate and the mortgage industry because there's so many trending things that are going on. So John, as you would say, let's like say hello to all of our listeners. I get to be the host today. How super fun.
I love the reverse roles here, and again, welcome to all of our listeners. We appreciate your attendance to us each and every time, and I'm just thrilled and kind of honored to be here.
I love it, and you know, I said earlier when we were like waiting for the show to start, I said, I get to interrogate you, which is a pure pleasure for me. I mean, there's so much going on. Well, first of all, just the word, you know, to interrogate, but the second thing is there's so much going on in the real estate industry right now, and especially the mortgage industry for you, and I'm hoping today we can really get, you know, up to date on some of the trending things that are going on. I want, if it's okay, are we good on that? Because I got a gazillion questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fire away. I'm ready.
I love it. Well, the first one is you were telling me about the adverse market fee that was going to be hitting and now it's not. And can you talk a little bit about what the kind of official announcement is and the party line on that?
Okay. So now anybody that is listening in America and is in the process of potentially refinancing their residence or a rental property is already aware, or if they're not, they should be, of what occurred here on August 13th of this year. It was an unprecedented move. Now, mind you, Michelle, I have been doing my job for over 37 years, so I kind of have it figured out by now. But what occurred on the 13th was that the head of the FHFA, which is the Federal Housing Finance Agency, pulled a maneuver that I have never seen in my entire career. And what we found most amazing, Michelle, was that there was no leak, no idea it was coming, and no one in the industry had any inkling that this was going to occur. And we were all woke up to a little bit of a shock when Mr. Calabria announced to the world that he was immediately imposing the equivalent of what would be a tax on every single American that was refinancing their home. Now, mind you, not purchases, but refinances only. And their reasoning behind it was, in my opinion, ridiculous at best for their explanation. So essentially, let's just say if you were an individual that was refinancing your home, and you had a $200,000 loan, that equivalent fee would have been half of a point, 0.50% in fees going straight to that agency. So in other words, you're coughing up an extra $1,000 in cost to procure that same interest rate that maybe days later you were quoted at no cost.
Wow.
Unconscionable is how it's been described, and I call it a money grab because they called it an adverse market fee, implying that, gee, refinances in this pandemic environment were riskier than normal. But when you think about it, that holds, you know, no logic whatsoever. people that are refinancing are already making their mortgage payments. So that means they're still employed and have income coming in. And the vast majority of people refinancing are lowering their monthly payments. So how is that more risky than where they already are? So you can see how we were a little incensed.
I think you had a term for it. You said it's equivalent to a game of three-card Monty on the Jersey Shore. Am I right?
Yes, that's exactly right. It's like the old shell game or, you know, look over here while I do something over there. Well, I can't tell you how much blowback there was on this. People were screaming, and agencies and, you know, governing bodies were screaming at the top of their lungs. Now, here's where the impact and why lenders were so incensed about it. The deadline was to go into effect next Tuesday, which is September 1st. And what they implied to us, like I'm a mortgage banker, and I have a huge pipeline of business that's going on, but the process for getting a simple refinance is doubled or even tripled for the time frame it takes to get it done just due to the massive amount of volume. Anybody that has talked to a bank, a lender, I don't care who they are, they're slammed, every one of us. We're dealing with a volume that we've never seen in the history of our business. So to get things done quickly isn't possible. And what FHFA said initially was that on those pipelines that are locked, you have a home loan, Michelle, and you've got a guaranteed rate and it's locked, I can't turn around as a lender and add that extra fee on there because we already have a contract in writing, so to speak, of what your rate is guaranteed to be. So what they told us is that if we don't deliver those loans by September 21st, we, as the lender, will have to pay that fee on your behalf. Now, multiply those dollars times many, many thousands of loans nationwide, because we are a big company. We guesstimated that we would lose well over $10 million in the month of September alone just due to the inability to fulfill that pipeline. Can you imagine?
Wow.
That's like changing the rules of the game, you know, right at the end of the game. With
mid-play,
penalties.
No, it's mid-play. You're like, you got your pawns in order, and it's like now they changed it. I at that part, it's like we could probably dish on that for hours, but at least it's been paused from what you said, if I heard you right, that's happened. I think here's a question for a lot of our listeners, John, because right now the refinancing is huge. I think you said it's like 63% of the total market right now. Like what should women know, you know, about their financial situation? Like if they've got anything that's not the best freaking rate ever, would you recommend that people look at refinancing? I mean, who should be looking at this, or do you think people are that should?
Well, I think I tell people they should be compelled to always reevaluate their financial fitness, as I put it, and take a look at what they've got. Now, I can't speak to interest rates, but let's just put it this way. In the 37 years that I've been doing this, I have never seen rates down this consistently low ever in my entire career. So what you thought was a good deal, you know, 6 months to a year ago even, I'm talking with people that I refinanced or sold a home to is less than 12 months ago. So I think everybody should be compelled to look at it. In particular, you know your numbers, and do be prepared that when you do take that first step to start to inquire, you might be very pleasantly surprised how much you can adjust your cash flow. But it's not just going for lowering the monthly payment sometimes as well. Know full well that many of my clients are shortening the terms on their loans. They really do want to see that property free and clear someday. Not everybody will get to that finish line, but at least if you can be applying more money towards your principal and less towards interest, there's a lot of different ways to look at this. So I think dust off those old paperwork, take a look at that mortgage payment, and certainly make an inquiry. And here's a word to the wise. The person or the entity that owns your loan, Michelle, isn't necessarily the right place to inquire with, because that's a loan servicer. That's not their forte to be doing new originations. I think going back to your original source or talking to a trusted referral is really a good move. But have your ducks in a row. I can't tell you how many times I have to laugh at this too. When I do get an inquiry for, or a referral from somebody I don't know, and they're calling up, they're going and asking me, well, what can I do here? And I said, well, how much do you owe? Well, I'm not sure. Well, what's your mortgage payment every month? I'm not really sure about that either. Well, do you have a mortgage? So it's like,
wow.
Do yourself a favor and have all of your information right there in front of you. Know what your income is. And we can do a good, solid loan officer should be able to do a quick analysis in a matter of minutes for you. And I think you might be pleasantly surprised. Yeah. Oh, it happens all the time.
That's an analogy I call where somebody calls and they're like, okay, I want a loan. And you're like, well, and they ask, like, what do you got? And you're like, well, what do you want? And they're like, well, what do you got? Right? I mean, it's like, have your numbers. That's like basic information. You know, something that's also trending you shared with me is that, you know, we're in San Diego right now doing our show. And you said the San Diego median home prices are at an all-time high of $634,000. So talk a little bit about that. I mean, for buyers – right now, it's like, should people be buying mortgages? Is it, you know, is that something that you can kind of share as some advice? Because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, again, we're in different times right now, but should people be looking at buying homes when these are the prices right now?
Well, there certainly are a lot of people looking to buy. And let me address that median home price. Now, the median home price means there are as many houses above that value of $634,000 as there are below. So it's not an average, it's the median, and that's an all-time high for San Diego County. But that has changed all over the country. And I do, as you well know, I do radio shows weekly on financial information with financial planners, estate planning attorneys, professional realtors, CPAs, etc. So we're always looking at these analysis to see exactly where we are. But what we're also seeing is the lowest affordability factor, meaning if rates are so low, the cost of borrowing money is so inexpensive relative to the market right now that, of course, it is a great time to buy. We are not, I do not believe, in a bubble because the demand is so high. And because of the pandemic and COVID situation, many sellers are just not going out there. They don't want people traipsing through their house and, you know, showings and such. So our demand is low, and that's pretty much of a national trend right now. But just for Southern California, there are six major counties in Southern California. And when we took a cross-section of those, the median price or appreciation from 1 year ago to right now was at 8.5%. Now, nationally, that figure is closer to 3.5 to 4, but just so you can see, the values are definitely going up, but the affordability, the cost of money is so low, so people are looking to buy, but be prepared for some serious competition out there, and that's where you really have to click and be firing all cylinders with your agent and have your finances in order. It would be required to have a loan pre-approved, not just a pre-qualification, but having a full-blown approval done so that you can pull the trigger when that opportunity arises. So I think the preparedness factor, we're kidding about that here earlier, but you really do have to have your ducks in a row when you're working on anything of this level. Let's face it, it's probably the biggest investment or transaction you've ever, you know, come across in a lifetime. So I don't know if that addresses some of your questions there.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a ton more. I know that because it's like, you know, it is, there's so many like if this, then this, you know, there's people in certain situations and others in different situations, right? Where, you know, you've got people right now. I mean, a lot of people are wondering, well, I didn't even realize that having people come through your home, if you're selling, of course they wouldn't want people in their home if we're in a pandemic. That obviously is really, I don't know, interesting is not the right word, but my gosh, this is just so different. One question I've got for you, John, is how do you manage the sheer volume? Like in a situation like this, and I know you haven't lost your mind yet, but you know, you've been in the industry a long time. You've seen kind of these ups and downs. How do you handle such crazy volume? And then, you know, there's years where it's a little more manageable.
Well, lots of tequila is my first response. necessarily, but I will tell you. Well, setting expectations for folks, too. And actually, we came out with a marketing piece that I am going to send out tomorrow on Saturday to all of my clients talking about, you know, what's going on with the numbers. Because everybody I speak to, let's face it, you've got, you know, escrow companies and title companies and us, of course, as a lender and appraisers and home inspectors and, you know, you name it, even the county recorder's office, you know, dealing with record volume. So I think setting expectation for folks and say, hey, look, this is going to take 2 to 3 times longer than what would be normal. So how we do it, I think, is just communication with folks, keeping in contact with them and putting in a lot of time, quite frankly. I mean, I'm smart enough to realize that you can't work 24/7, 7 days a week. And yet I kid you not, when I have seen loan approvals coming from underwriters at 7:30 on a Sunday morning, we have staff working. So it's just break it up, do the best you can, take care of yourself health-wise. I think that's the, and I do make sure I get plenty of sleep. That's one thing. But I think just coming to work is setting reasonable expectations, putting in some long hours, but just staying in communication so people don't lose it. And I think the feedback we're getting from most everybody is that, yeah, we understand it. I mean, think of it like this. If, you know, if you produce widgets for a living, you manufacture widgets, and you put out 1,000 widgets a day in your little widget company, and then an order comes in and it wants now 10,000 widgets a day, and you don't have this. And by the way, building widgets is a very highly skilled profession, so there aren't a lot of workmen out there. So we can't even go out and hire staff because nobody's out of a job in our industry. And if they are, there's probably a good reason for it. We can't even hire on underwriters and such. So I think it's just be patient, take a deep breath, communication, and that's how we're dealing with it, you know, one deal at a time.
One deal at a time. I love that. That's priceless. You know, I'm looking at some of the things, you know, you were kind of sharing that were trending, you know, with the mortgage industry. And are interest rate only mortgage lending options coming out again? I mean, I'm looking at just something you said. You said, are we going back to interest rate only mortgages again? Because I can't believe that's even something that's coming out.
Well, what happened when the pandemic first broke out is the lending took a big step backwards. There was certainly a panic what's going to happen with people not making their mortgage payments for loss of job, you know, what we call the forbearance issue. So there was a lot of uncertainty, and many of the loan programs and products that we saw just kind of went away almost overnight, and particularly in the jumbo market, which is defined. Every county in the United States has a limit. They have what they call a conforming loan limit, and then they have a high balance limit, and then anything over that is a jumbo limit. Well, those loans took a big hit and kind of disappeared. Many banks and lenders literally stopped taking applications and pushed the business away and said, sorry, we're not open for business now. Well, that has turned around a little bit, and so some of these products that I think were good, viable products are coming back. They're inching back into the marketplace, and most notably is the jumbo loan. So the jumbo investors, and that's for your more sophisticated buyer. I mean, you know, when you're talking $1 million, $2 million home loans, you know, that's a lot of money to be making a payment on. But those products are starting to come back, and doing the interest-only payments is an option. And it tends to be, again, a sophisticated investor or homeowner that is doing those types of loans, but they are coming back. I'm seeing the trend in underwriting starting to lighten up a little bit, not a lot, but, you know, what was ultra-conservative a few years back, it's now becoming more common sense. And every single week we see notices coming out about an improvement, guidelines expanding, all for the better. And that's all good news for the consumer. So, I think the products are coming back, and I, for one, I'm glad to see it.
And hopefully won't be like the bubble that we had before, because, I mean, I knew so many people that were taking those interest only, or, you know, the flipping of homes and all of that. So I don't know. It's like you look at, I'm mostly conservative, but on the same token, it's like, man, there's things that are trending, and now's a different place. I mean, talk a little bit if you can. You know, I know there's so many homeowners out there that are hurting, if I can say that, right? They're on forbearance. They're looking at, you know, what options do we have? It's like, I don't want to have that big balloon payment at the end. You know, if you go into forbearance, I know we had, if I can say, we had a member, you know, that was sharing that she initially with her mortgage lender was offered that they would, you know, do a forbearance for 3 months, right? And they came mm-hmm. and they said, then it's going to be a big balloon payment. And she said, well, can't I tack that onto the end? And they were like, no, it has to be paid in 3 months. And she said, you know, well, I'm really going to ask again, can't that be done at the end? And I guess she asked enough times, because finally they said, well, okay. So I'm really curious for you, knowing what you know in the mortgage industry, if anybody, I mean, can you talk a little bit about what should homeowners look at if they're in that situation? There are so many people that maybe haven't made the call to their mortgage lender. Should they talk to another mortgage lender? I'm really curious what your advice would be for people that are struggling a bit, you know, in a current mortgage situation.
And we do see that, and I am glad to say that that same entity, the FHFA, that's hard to say fast.
It is.
But they all,
I think you're saying something
did,
else.
Yeah, they extended the foreclosure and eviction moratorium for a third time out to December 31st. So those people who are in forbearance, you know, you might be able to buy a little bit more time. But the downside to that, you are exactly right. If, you know, if I'm having trouble making my payment now, how in the world 3 months from now, even with my loss of income potentially, am I going to come up with 3 months' payments all at one time? So there's a forbearance, and then there's also where they do add it on to the end of the loan, where they just – so if you had 200 months left on your current mortgage, you now would have 203 months left, and you get 3 months to, you know, get a little bit of a breather. So there's two ways to work that. So make sure you're crystal clear if you have to go that path. My strong advice is make sure you are 100% sure of exactly what you're getting into, and don't paint yourself into a corner. Now, what happens mm-hmm. when all these forbearances run out and people all of a sudden have to either have an increased loan amount, maybe not all 3 months or 4 months or six or whatever are due all at once, but they now say, okay, we're going to bump your mortgage payment by $500 and we'll let you make it up over the next 12 months. But that all has to be in writing, and you need to be crystal clear before you pull that trigger to make sure you're not going to shoot yourself in the foot. Now, if they tack it onto the tail end, that just adds time on it, and, you know, you don't have near the risk factor right there. So,
you know, I'm curious, I wanted to add to that, because, you know, how does one, as a homeowner, like, who should they be talking to? Any customer service rep when they call in to their, you know, their mortgage account? I'm just curious, because I've heard people that have raised the flag and just said, I want to talk to somebody that has, you know, a management title or something like that. I've heard others that say, my gosh, I didn't get anywhere. I was, you know, talked to, every time I called, I talked to a different person. I never got assigned to anybody. I'm just kind of curious, in the mortgage industry, are there any tricks or techniques, in a good way, right? Authentically, I'm asking, of how somebody could approach, you know, a deal with their mortgage lender. Because, I mean, back in 2007 and then 2008, I didn't see anybody trying to make things work, and that was a whole different bubble. But
no.
Are they being open to doing these changes now and working with homeowners?
Yeah, I would be shocked if every loan servicer, because of the prevalence of this right now, but I would be shocked for any loan servicing company in the country does not have that department geared up and manned specifically to handle this. So really just asking, where's the department? Who do I need to speak to get a crystal clear answer? And presumably somebody with some management experience, but they can't answer every phone call. But I know, as an example, we do not service our loans very few of them that we do. We sell them all off to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and other investors. But when we call for servicing, there's a department set up to deal with issues and problems. So make sure you get to that right department. That's my advice. They've got to have a specialty set up to handle all of these transactions that are coming at them at a breakneck pace right now, because it is such a huge issue. Millions of people nationwide are dealing with this. So I'd be surprised if they didn't have an avenue or a procedure or process set up. If the person you're talking to doesn't sound like they know what they're talking about, you're definitely talking to the wrong person. You want somebody that sounds like they know exactly what's going on, that has their head screwed on straight. You know, so all of those types of
that
things.
That would be helpful.
Yes, and getting answers sometimes from lower level. Everybody's got a job to do, but not everybody has all the right answers.
Right. No, I've heard from people that have called, you know, four different people at a company, and they get four different answers. I mean, I think that's the thing, is you've got to keep asking. But at the same time, I'm curious for you, knowing, like, think of a crystal ball here, John. I don't want to be, you know, look at devastation, but when you look after December 31st, what is kind of your opinion on the impact of all of these forbearance loans, or, you know, the time frame coming due? Is it going to be a huge impact on the mortgage industry from what you know, crystal ball it?
I don't know so much on the mortgage side of things, because that seems to still be chugging along and pretty healthy. And I anticipate us having these low rates or similar rates for a very, very long time. I mean, even the head of, you know, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell had a summit meeting on Thursday of this week, and he addressed a lot of these issues, inflation and things of that nature. They're not going to bump short-term rates, which would ripple effect the long-term rates. That isn't going to happen for a long time. My concern more is if people are still struggling financially with income or work or job layoffs and such, that balloon comes due and they just plain simply can't make it. The one good thing is that we're at an all-time high in the history of the United States for the amount of equity that homeowners have nationwide, which means at least there's some money there to be had. And unfortunately, the ultimate downside would be if I can't make my payment, I can't make up the forbearance. Worst case is I end up having to sell my home, but at least I'm left with something. And maybe I can get back in the market again another year, 6 months down the road, when things return to normal, whatever that new normal would be, knock on wood. So you plan ahead. Do not be the one that sticks their head in the sand and says, well, if I don't look at it or I don't address it, it'll go away and it's not really happening. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that plan fail miserably. So just be realistic and know, plan ahead and do a little forward thinking as a homeowner. I think it could possibly force a lot of people, which would free up some inventory that's greatly needed. Not the way we want it to happen, that's for sure. But
no, good points. Oh, such good points. I mean, I love this. I think we should do this more regularly, because there's always changes, you know, to the real estate and mortgage industry. And for most people, that is the number one, you know, asset that they have. I mean, I'm going to ask you, because we're almost out of time. It's like, you know how this goes. This is your show. That like, we've only got a couple of minutes left. So if any of our listeners want to reach out and, you know, if they want to ask you a couple of questions, I know you're really busy. Are you open to kind of sharing how you want to be reached? If people have some questions for you and they want some, you know, some of the John perspective here?
Absolutely. I'm always open for that for our members and anyone for that matter. So my direct phone number, I'll give you a phone number and email both. My direct phone number, and I always answer my own phone, is 760 area code 944-6555. And again, that's 760-944-6555. And my email is very simple. It's John B, J-O-H-N, letter B as in boy, at financeofamerica.com. And I welcome
that
any and all
very
questions.
Easy. I know how great you've been with people that have talked to you and just said, here's my situation, right? You start with that. But like you said, have some good financial information ready when you're going to, you know, ask those questions to kind of get a once over with them. So, Em, I'm going to ask you, like, how can we leave on a high note? I know you said the other update you wanted to give is what's the surfing report like in San Diego County, but what's something you can leave us with on a high note?
All right. I will give the surf report. The waves are very flat and boring, but the water is really nice and warm. So warm and boring is the surf report. How about that?
I like that. And you have to say, it's like, to all of our international listeners and national, we want to go, yeah, it doesn't suck to live in San Diego. We'll say that. That's for sure. Oh, my gosh. So funny. Hey, thank you for being my guest on your show. Those are words I don't usually say. I want to say thank you for being our leading man on your own show as host. This was Financial Fitness. And I'm going to wrap up other than to say, John, it's like you're very knowledgeable on the industry. I know you're crazy busy and you're doing what you can do. But thank you for, you know, just such great information and advice you've given our members in Connected Women of Influence. So to all of our listeners, it is Friday. I hope you're getting ready for the weekend. We've got one more week till Labor Day, but for all of us, we are here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. We are also here Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific time. Wow, that was a tongue twister. And I just want to say thanks for listening in, and I hope all of you got some really good snippets of information on what a record year, and it's going to be an interesting year next year for real estate and mortgage. Stay safe, stay well, and make sure to keep your financial fitness in order.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.